You are Locked On Pacers, your daily Indiana Pacers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome in to a Tuesday edition of the Locked On Pacers podcast, where we talk about, of course, the Indiana Pacers all the time. As always, I am one of the hosts of this show, Tony East, covering the team for the West Indianapolis Community News and for Forbes. And I keep saying we're going to do once a week because nothing's happening, and then stuff keeps happening. So today we got a lot to get to because there's a lot of Pacers stuff to talk about. Miles Turner continues to play for Team USA. We'll talk about that. Domantas Sabonis talking to a reporter named Donatas Urbonas, which is confusing. I probably just said his name wrong too. But anyway, about a ton of Pacers stuff. We'll dig into all that. And of course, the schedule is out. We'll start with that. It's going to be a fun, randomly jam-packed mid-August show. But of course, I think starting with the schedule is the place to go. So I'm not going to get too deep in. I'll kind of just cliff notes my way through it with a few of my thoughts. But I think me and Adam will get really nitty-gritty for our next weekly show. We hope you guys enjoyed the mailbag. I think we missed two questions because we recorded those back-to-back. So I'm really sorry if we missed your questions, although one of them was talking about me shooting well on my driveway as a kid. So Jake, if you happen to listen to this, thank you for proving that I did in fact at one point shoot a basketball well. But let's start with the schedule. Surprise, 82 games, 41 home and 41 away. That's the part we all knew. So it was actually a pretty fun debate, which I think me and Adam will talk about, if the Pacers wanted their schedule to be front-loaded or back-loaded given Oladipo's injury, which I'm sure me and Adam will discuss both sides of that, which I just said. But it's mostly backloaded, but it's mostly balanced in its loadedness, if that makes any sense. Like it never really strays from any median. Like, it's not so easy or so hard on the front or back. But if you had to lump it into a bucket, most of the hard games are at the back, which I think, just a gist here, is good. So the exact quote from Pritchard on Doncic's show, or no, I'm sorry, this was at the post-draft press conference. After Goga's draft, Kevin Pritchard said, with Victor's injury, he might be out for a little bit. I'm hopeful he is back in December or January. To put a true timeline out there is not really fair. But that's all the info I have. I've been operating on that for a while. So December, January, let's just put mid-December on that to hedge the middle of those. That's December 15th. So by then, the Pacers all have played 27 games. That's 55 outside of that, so that's a little less than the 30 I was doing estimations for their record on, but not enough that I'm going to really go drastically change anything. So in those 27 games, the first 11 are all pretty easy. They got Orlando, Detroit three times, Cleveland, Brooklyn, but Chicago's in there, but they're like Brooklyn or Detroit are like the hardest teams they play. You know, they could get out of that first stretch without Vic, 7-4. That would be a great start. Then they have a little bit of, you know, they got Houston, Milwaukee in there. But then they go into another runnable stretch at Brooklyn and then home for Orlando, Memphis, Utah, Atlanta. That's pretty easy. And that takes them almost all the way to the end of November. So at the end of November, this team could be, you know, they're going to be probably 500 or better by then, maybe four or five games over if things are going well. I mean, that's as good of a start as you could want without Vic. Now, from late November to mid-December, they got some tough ones. They've got Philadelphia in there, at Oklahoma City. The Clippers, the Celtics are in there. That's a tougher stretch. So if that doesn't go well, you know, maybe they're a little over 500, and then Vic comes back. And then it's just a pretty balanced schedule the rest of the way. It airs more challenging than those first patch of games, but not by much. It's very slight. So I think it's overall pretty fair schedule, and it kind of suits their needs of timing, both with injuries and just in general what you'd kind of prefer of a balanced schedule. You know, I know Utah got the shaft last year. They had a really hard front-loaded schedule, which meant they couldn't rest guys as much. Everybody else figured it out, and when everybody figured it out, they were at a disadvantage because their schedule was so hard. They were already in a hole, so that kind of stuff matters for fatigue and all that kind of stuff, and they were unhappy with that. So I think they're happier to have a balanced schedule, but the point of that is to say teams prefer balance in their schedule, and the Pacers got it, and within that balance, it shook out to be the most favorable way it could be for them. So some other highlights in there. 11 back-to-backs, league average is higher than that, so below average. Last year, they were slightly above. This year, they're a little below at 11, which is good. I'm just going to, again, December 15th, I didn't actually say this, but that's completely arbitrary. That's a complete guess. They play Charlotte that day, and they have two back-to-backs later in December. It seems like a good time. You could, like, have them come back and then be like, look, we're going to load manage him on these back-to-backs and all that stuff. That's a complete guess. I have no idea when he's coming back. It could be before that. It could be after that, but I'm going to use that as my marker for this. So of their 11 back-to-backs, 7 are after December 15th. And if they're going to load manage him, which I think a lot of indications suggest they will, yeah, he's going to miss those 7 games. But 3 of them are in March and April, so maybe he'll be ramped up by then. I don't know. There's a lot of focus on Vic, but, I mean, he is a crucial part of the scheduling observing process. But 11 back-to-backs is good. They have the elusive Denver-Utah back-to-back, which is impossible because both of those places are already very hard to win. So they're for sure going to lose the second one of those. I think they play at Denver first. But, yeah, just that's right at the beginning of January. That's just going to be nuts. But, yeah, 11 back-to-backs is good. 7 after Vic is not good, but whatever. My favorite run, or at least the run that I think is the most favorable to them post-Vic will be back by this time, is January 29th through February 20th. They have one road game in Toronto on February 5th in there. Every other day or game they're home for, and the All-Star breaks in there. So they have almost a full month at home, relaxing, team bonding, all that stuff. That'll be a good reset point, recalibrate. It's also right before the trade deadline, so if they do make a move, they can integrate the new guy. And it's a pretty good time, 25 days to, you know, not be traveling a lot and to reset before your stretch run. After the All-Star break, not nearly as hard as last year in March, which is good. Nothing really too demanding until, you know, late March-ish gets a little tougher, but it's also not that super hard. So, really, again, it's a pretty balanced schedule. So, yeah, I think if you wanted to, it wouldn't be exactly this. I think you would tweak it a little bit with the back-to-back schedule and move a few of the home-away stretch around. Like, their longest homestand's only 4. It's pretty short. They have 2 5-game road trips, so that's a bummer. But it's pretty good. If you had to craft, like you give it like a 7 out of 10, given your demands or your hopes before the schedule came out. 6 nationally televised games, all in February or later. So that's post-Vic's return, of course. I think that's pretty interesting. 4 at home. They got Toronto on February 7th at home on ESPN. Portland at home February 27th on TNT. February 12th, they got Milwaukee at home. March 18th, they got Golden State at home. And then at Milwaukee on March 4th and at Boston on April 8th. Those last 4 all on ESPN. So, cool. 6 is a lot. If you count NBA TV games as national TV, they have 19, which is the 17th most in the league. So, they're almost up to the median here, but not quite. With Vic's injury, that makes a ton of sense. And a ton of new players. Anyway, Bojan comes back November 27th. Kylo Quinn comes back December 31st. Only I care about that New Year's Eve game there. McConnell versus O'Quinn on their old teams. Thaddeus Young comes back November 3rd, and I don't have it in front of me when the Kings return to see Corey Joseph return. That's embarrassing. Corey Joseph comes back at some point, and I will be hyped for that. So, yeah, that's the thing. We'll get more into the nitty-gritty next week, but there's your cliff notes of the runs of play and the back-to-backs and all the high notes, basically, that you'd want to hear. So, yeah, I think it's pretty favorable, but not quite perfect. But still good and still what they need. So let's take a quick break before we talk about Miles Turner at Team USA. But first, there's Locked On Fantasy Football. And I have been listening to this because I am notoriously average at fantasy football. I always get the 4 seed in the playoffs with my friends, and I always lose in the first round. So go check out Locked On Fantasy Football. Vinny does a great job over there. He's been covering fantasy sports for like 20 years or something crazy. And you're not listening to Matthew Berry. You're listening to other stuff. If you're listening to different stuff than everybody else, then you'll do differently than them. So Locked On Fantasy Football, it's your favorite place to get fantasy football stuff now. So go check out Locked On Fantasy Football, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, with your favorite podcast provider. It'll be on there. And now I'll take a break and then talk about Miles. I stayed home till 10:30 on my Friday night before potentially going out. I didn't end up going out because I watched this game, to watch a scrimmage to see how Miles played for Team USA. So let's do some background first. Miles Turner's technically still on a tryout for Team USA's basketball team. He's on not the select team. I don't really get how this works. I think like the select team is a bunch of young guys. They have come in to like help scrimmage and stuff. But he's on like he's like one of the 17 guys they have to cut to 12 for the summer. And then the centers they had in this game, they had Mason Plumlee, Bam Adebayo, and then they had stretches of P.J. Tucker at center and stretches of Thad at center and Brook Lopez. I forgot Brook Lopez. So they started Turner each half, and then he didn't play the rest of the half because they were trying a lot of guys at center just to see how it went. And then immediately after the game, Thaddeus Young gets cut, so he's out of the center rotation. And then they promote Marvin Bagley and cut Bam Adebayo, and then Marvin Bagley says, nah, I'm out. I'm going to focus on the Kings this year. So three big men are just dropped, like, since this game happened. So it's pretty much him, Brook Lopez, and Mason Plumlee left. If they only keep three centers, I mean, if they count P.J. Tucker, then four, maybe one of them gets cut. But either way, he's probably better than Mason Plumlee. And him and Brook Lopez they have probably similar impacts, are good at different things, even though they have similar skill sets. Anyway, he will probably is going to make the team, especially if he was starting. So look to see Miles Turner on the old Team USA this summer, which will be cool. That is the weirdest group of centers. It's crazy how many guys have dropped out. Random thought, by the way, in watching this game, De'Aaron Fox is awesome. He was so good. He was playing up. He was on the select team at first, and they called him up to play point, and then he was a beast. And then Kyle Lowry just dropped out, so he's for sure going to make it, and he probably should start because Kemba should start, but he was super good, and he's super fun. Anyway, back to Miles. He only took two shots. Chris Middleton set him up for the first one. He little step back from the elbow. He stepped back to the elbow and then spotted up from there. High rainbow swish. It was beautiful. The second one, I can't remember who dimed him up, if it was Donovan Mitchell or Jaylen Brown. The group he played with was usually Kemba, Mitchell, Jaylen Brown, and Chris Middleton. Either way, whoever drove to the rim had a nice little wraparound pass to hit him at the top of the key. Buried the three, so made both of his shots for 5 points. Plus two while at center, while Bam was a minus one and Thad was a minus 14, so... and Brook Lopez was minus two. So look at that. He fit well with his group better than most of the other centers. Now, Mason Plumlee was a plus 20. The group Mason Plumlee was with, like that second unit, just did so good. A lot of that thanks to Foxy. But they were also playing the backup of the select team, which was not exactly a star-studded unit. But they did really well. But Turner did better than most centers, I would say. He got bullied on the glass a little bit, although... it wasn't, like, so bad. He ended up with two rebounds in 10 minutes. He did get bullied on the glass a little bit, but people were talking about it, and, like, I only felt like he fought for, like, three contested rebounds, and he got one of them. Now he should get more than that. He's ginormous. But I'm not going to be like, oh, he missed two contested rebounds. What a bad game. He did do – I will give him a C- rebounding grade for the game. Which he needs to get better at that. But I think playing with Sabonis, that's a different discussion. We'll figure that out later. But yeah, that was his whole stat line. 2 points, two rebounds, nothing else. So yeah, plus two. It's fun to see Miles playing for Team USA, and it looks almost certainty that he's going to make the team. I'll be interested to see if playing for Team USA and then having the trip to India affects his stamina at all to start the season. But for now, I will enjoy him playing with other stars around the league and being one of the marquee guys and potentially the starting center for the USA team. So, yeah, really cool to see Miles. I think they have one more scrimmage before their actual games. They have to have the roster cut down by later this week. So we'll know by later this week if he makes it or not, which is going to be awesome. I really hope he does. I think it'd be awesome for both the Pacers. You know, he can be there recruiting. He's learning from some of the best basketball minds in America. It's cool to see. So, good for Miles. Didn't miss a shot. Also good. So we'll see if he makes the team. I'm almost certain he will. But yeah, let's move on to the other big man playing for international stuff, Domantas Sabonis, and some of the stuff he had to say about the Pacers after a short break. So I don't know where to find box score stats for the Lithuanian national team. I have tried, but unfortunately I am having a terrible time. But I know Sabonis was the only scorer in double figures in one of their games because Caitlin watched it and was tweeting about it. And a reporter out in Europe talked to him, and he had a lot of stuff to say about the Pacers, and nothing was bad. So I think it's going to be fun to go through them, but there's a biggest one in here, clearly, about a contract extension. So we'll get to that. Let's rock. So first up, I was talking about drafting Goga, and the exact quote is, Sabonis, after the Pacers drafted Goga, another center I was shocked at first, but I get it. Me and Miles need a backup, and Bataze is a great player. I talked with him after the draft. He's a hard worker, and Pacers will make him better. We needed a player like him. So, if you needed any more after Kevin Pritchard said it and everyone else has said it and reported it, he's for sure. Sabonis is for sure starting, and Goga's for sure the backup center. I think this is like all but confirmed. And they didn't even sign another center. Like, Goga has to be the backup center. But I think that's a funny reaction because it's sort of like what all the fan people were like, oh my gosh, another center, what are they doing? And then they're like, oh yeah, okay, Thaddeus Young's gone, this makes some sense now. But I like that Sabonis is all of us and was shocked at first. Next up, Sabonis talked about playing alongside Miles Turner. He said, we know it can work. I think we were a good fit last season. We just need more time, not just a few minutes per game, but whole season at least, or at least half of it. There are going to be better and worse games. We need to trust and everything will be fine. So, it seems like if he's saying that, Caitlin Cooper said this on Twitter, and I agree with this. Seems like if he's saying that, they maybe should have tried to play them together a little more after Victor got hurt, especially if they knew they weren't going to bring back Thad. But we're past that point now. We can talk about that being a mistake now. Probably was, but it's over. Let's look at this quote on its own here. Yeah, I think they do need more time, and we'll see if they can, you know, get into a better rhythm as the season goes along. Last summer, they talked about thinking they could work well, and stylistically, we all think, like, yeah, this should work, and it, you know, it's been okay. It's been a positive, but it hasn't quite shown up in the big ways that it seems to project in these quotes, so we'll have to see, but I'm glad they're optimistic again. I kind of hope they play against each other this summer just to see how it goes. And now, the big guy for number three, Domantas Sabonis, told he expects to sign an extension with the Indiana Pacers this offseason, but is remaining patient. Like my dad said, you did your job, you did your best, and now you just have to wait. So he expects to sign an extension. That is very interesting to me. Given that Pritchard said that's their next priority, and he said that, I'm guessing when international basketball is over and he comes back is when those discussions will really ramp up. With Turner, it was like the last minute they got it done. They'll have to see what happens here. I still don't know where I feel on giving him an extension. Obviously, he's a good player. You want to keep good players. If that's the whole discussion, great, check. But he's about to be playing the four, and he's a five, so maybe you're extending a player who's not as good if he's playing out of position. And if you like Turner more, you shouldn't extend him. If you like Sabonis more, maybe you should, and you should trade Turner. Or maybe you could keep both and they'll work. There's a lot of layers to this. And maybe it's the right call. I really don't know. I think a lot of the decision-making of keeping Sabonis comes down to, you know, how good do you think he is? And how much do you believe in the pairing of the two centers? If you think he's awesome, you're obviously going to want to keep him. And I think he's pretty good. And I'm pretty 50-50 on it. So I think I understand if they do it, and I understand if they don't. We'll see. But it seems like that he said expects, and that Kevin Pritchard specifically said to Charlie Clifford that it's their next priority. It seems like it's going to happen, so we'll have to see. The last thing Sabonis talked about, summer roster changes. This made me sad. He said, sadly, many good friends of mine left Indiana, but this is how the NBA works. However, we are going to have a very good team this year. We signed good players, and it's in our hands. We will need to start the season strong to be ready when Vic will come back. So, yeah, they have the chance to start the season strong with their schedule. First 11 games don't look particularly hard. But I was sad that he said a lot of his good friends left. I mean, I'm sure I know him and Bojan were pretty good buddies. And I know him and Corey Joseph, their lockers were right by each other, were pretty good buddies. So you hate to see that kind of stuff happen. But, of course, they look like they could be a pretty good team if everything shakes out. So, yeah, just a lot of fun stuff from Sabonis. Donatus Urbonus had all that stuff. He's on Twitter at Urbodo, U-R-B-O-D-O, if you want to learn more about European basketball and potentially hear more of the stuff from Sabonis, because he's been with the Lithuanian team quite a bit. He was the one who tweeted out last year that Sabonis won Basketball Player of the Year in Lithuania. He was the person I figured that out from. So he's a good follow for all that stuff. So, yeah, a lot of Pacers news in mid-August. I hope you guys enjoyed another episode of the Locked On Pacers podcast. Like I said, me and Adam will be back on Monday to talk schedule and probably Miles on making Team USA, because it'll be official at that point. Yeah, it'll be great. So thank you guys for listening. Don't forget to check out Locked On Fantasy Football, and we will see you on Monday.